You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to this week's Grecian's Gossip. I'm Stuart James and I am delighted to be welcomed by my colleague and fellow City fan, Jamie Hawkins. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Stu. How's it going?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Yeah, very good.
Enjoying the World Cup?
Yes, it's great, isn't it?
Now you found somewhere to watch it?
Yeah, I know. Yes.
Jamie, a busy week at St James's Park. The players were back in pre-season last Monday. A few additions as well. You know, no sooner were they back than they started to arrive one by one. Starting off with Aaron Martin, 28, centre-back. What was your thoughts about signing Aaron Martin?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm honest, I haven't heard too much about him, but I haven't looked him up. He's, you know, experienced. He's got a lot of games under his belt. Spent a lot of time at higher league clubs as well. Obviously at Southampton as well in League One. So we must have played him, I suppose, at some point. Come across him in League One. So yeah, it's a promising signing. Obviously it was needed after Jordan Moore-Taylor leaving, Jordan Story leaving, and you know, a few others released pretty bare at the back, so it was pretty crucial to get someone in quickly. And Matt Taylor, obviously as a centre back, would have looked at the strengths there, and yeah, so it's very promising. He's a good age as well. He's been around for a while now, and hopefully he can use that experience to help, you know, some of the other players, and hopefully he'll form a good partnership with someone like Troy Brown as well. Yeah. So pretty promising.
I guess the City fans, that you know, the one sort of question they're going to have is whether he's going to be fit enough, because obviously he had a long spell out last year, didn't he? I think it was an Achilles problem that he had. So obviously there's a slight question mark about that. But I think you're totally right. You know, experience, 28. And I know Matt Taylor was talking on Grecian's Gossip last week about, you know, the captaincy situation. So you look at him and you think, well, 28, centre-half, looks like captain material as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you're looking at potential captain options. You're looking at someone like Dean Moxey maybe. But I think, yeah, my preference for a captain would be a defender, an experienced one as well,
too.
Or maybe a goalkeeper. You know, obviously we've had Moore Taylor and the likes during throughout the years, and they seem to have done a pretty good job. So, I wouldn't be against someone like him being captain. I don't know, has he been captain before anywhere else?
I'm not sure, but you know, you look at his background, and as you say, 160 career appearances with Eastleigh, Southampton, Birmingham, Yeovil, Coventry, and then Oxford. So he's, as you say, he's been around the block a fair bit. He's certainly got the experience. I guess it depends on his personality, you know. Is he a sort of quiet centre-half, or is he someone that likes to lead and take command? So,
yeah.
I guess these are the things that Matt Taylor will learn in pre-season before he makes his decision as to who the next captain's going to be.
Yeah, it's good to get the players in, I say fairly early, obviously the transfer window's shut and early, but I suppose we've had four signings now in the last few days. It's like buses, you know, everyone was sort of on tenterhooks waiting for someone to come in after Moore Taylor and Story left, and if you were released, and you know, everyone's asking them to sort of hurry it up, but you know, patience is a virtue, I suppose.
Absolutely.
And if we look at the other ones as well, like Jonathan Forbes as well coming in, another experienced striker. Exeter probably know quite a lot about him, having played for Notts County and the likes during the years, and it's just great to strengthen the attack as well. You know, like I said, James Stockley, Matt Jay, other than that, it's quite limited with Ryan Brunt and Robbie Simpson going. So, another promising striker. I don't know how you feel about
that. Yeah, kind of the same, really. I spoke to a friend of mine who's a massive Notts County fan. He actually covers or follows County across the country, goes to all home and away games. And he was really disappointed that County let him go. I think, you know, you speak to some County fans, they're like, no, we can understand it, we've got players coming in. So they were quite happy. But then you had a lot of fans as well that were disappointed to see him go. They also felt that had he been given more of a chance last season, then County would actually have gone on and won automatic promotion. They felt he should have been used a lot more than he was. I think he was a bit of an impact player towards the end of last season, and at times County was struggling for goals, and a lot of fans were calling for him to have been used a lot more than he was. But you know, you look at him again, 31 years old, as you say, Aaron Martin, 28. There's a lot of experience that Matt Taylor's been you know, brought to the club, Nicky Law as well, who we'll come on to in a minute. But John Fort, 88 goals for Sheffield United, Doncaster, Scunthorpe, Notts County, Southampton, and a host of loan clubs as well. So he's certainly proven at this level.
Yeah, like I said, I remember watching him for Notts County a few times over the years, and you know, like you said, it did seem like he was underused quite a bit for County, maybe being kept out of the team by Shola Amiobi and John Stead. But yeah, you know, a lot of games under his belt, which is so important, and maybe, you know, hopefully someone with that experience and age could help the likes of Matt Jay, who's you know still quite young, and hopefully teach him a few tricks.
I must admit, when I heard that City had signed him, I didn't know what type of striker he was, but I just kind of assumed that, going by his goals record, he was more of a sort of target man type of striker. But I spoke to the media guys at Exeter, and they were like, no, not at all. He's like a pacey, quick striker. So on paper, him alongside Jaden Stockley looks like a marriage made in heaven.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need that. We've got that big target man in Stockley. So you need someone to make those runs. Kind of like, hopefully form a partnership, sort of like Ruben Reid and McAlinden did at the start of last season, when McAlinden was just feeding Reid with the goals when he got to a phenomenal start to the season. So I think we need that, because the number of games that season when Stockley was up front on his own, like the playoff final, how isolated was he up front
absolutely,
on his own,
with
no one within, you know, a few yards of him. So hopefully Fort could be that one that makes the runs, wins those, if Stockley wins the flick-ons, he runs onto them. So yeah, could be a promising partnership.
I mean, that was a massive issue last season, wasn't it? You know, we started the season with Ruben Reid and Liam McAlinden up front. Those two did work together well. But when you go out and spend a club record fee on another striker, obviously he's going to be expecting to start games. So Jaden comes in, and almost for the rest of the season, you know, we tried McAlinden, we tried Ruben, we tried Matt Jay, tried Robbie Simpson. There was not that regular partner alongside him, even though I always felt that City were better when they played with two up front. But it seemed to be Jaden played okay, but no one else could really play that well alongside him to cement that place.
Yeah, I think they tried it with Stockley and Jay up front, and it kind of worked a little bit. But obviously Jay's, say he's not that experienced, he has been well around, you know, quite a bit now, and he just hasn't had that first team, regular first team football starting. So hopefully, if, you know, you'd imagine Jonathan Fort will be playing a lot more games than Matt Jay has been, hopefully he'll be a regular starter. So I'm sure Matt Taylor's already working on partnerships up front with Fort and Stockley, and hopefully that can be, you know, bring the best out of both of them.
I certainly look at it and I think I much prefer the strikers that Matt Taylor has at the club than the ones that Tiz had last year. You know, I look at the four now, you've got John Fort, Jaden Stockley, Matt Jay, as you say, and then of course young Tristan Abrahams, who's come in from Norwich, and then one or two of the kids as well. To me, it's a lot better than what we had last year, where we had Simpson, Brunt and McAlinden, who, you know, really struggled for goals.
Yeah, I think Tisdale's been known for that over the years at Exeter, signing strikers who are, you know, say experienced, but perhaps, you know, getting on a bit in their careers, perhaps winding down their careers now, and quite injury prone as well. I think we've seen that with Simpson and Ryan Brunt over the years. So yeah, it's promising to see that Matt Taylor seems to be getting that mix of youth and experience, which is important. Obviously you need experience, especially in League Two. It's such a tough league, isn't it? Such a physical league, but then you do need that youth, with the likes of Tristan Abrahams coming through. You know, again, don't know too much about him, does seem quite promising, very young still. I saw that video they put up with that penalty.
Yeah, knows how to take penalties.
Like, yeah, so yeah.
He's a confident player by the looks of it. You know, you've got to be a confident player to take a penalty like that, haven't
you?
So.
Especially at that age, 19 as well, so hopefully they'll see good things with him, yeah.
Yeah. And experience in the midfield as well. Nicky Law, 30 years old, you know, again, 450 career appearances. He sounds to me like a David Noble type of player from the feedback we're getting from Bradford and elsewhere.
And how long have we been crying out for someone like David Noble to come in since he left? I think he's actually, for me, perhaps the most exciting signing. On paper, you know, I know he's been given this nickname of the Crab, but you know, you look at the teams he's played for, spent most of his career in League One and above. So hopefully, you know, Rangers as well. Okay, it was in the Championship, I think, but playing for such a big club, like that, it must give you just so much experience and confidence.
Yeah.
So obviously Taylor would have known him probably from Bradford as well, so that could be such a crucial signing, because you know, obviously with Lloyd James going as well, and still quite thin in that midfield, and I think we've sort of been lacking that sort of midfielder recently. We've had Tilson and James quite deep sitting midfielders, you've had Harley, but then he's had his injury problems, and Boateng as well. So perhaps Nicky Law, if he comes in, you know, when he plays, he can give Boateng more freedom to push forward, because we all see what Boateng's like when he's going forward. He's absolutely brilliant as an attacking midfielder. So yeah, it's a really exciting signing, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, again, you know, speaking to Bradford fans, the opinions were very divided over him. You know, some were saying, no, he's rubbish, all he ever does is go sideways. But you don't need midfielders to do exactly the same thing, do you?
Mm.
You know, you don't need that midfielder. Like, we don't need another Boateng, for example, someone who can bomb on and get into the box. Or we don't need another Tilson who can just, you know, break up play and keep it simple. We've got someone there that is good in, you know, in possession, retains possession, keeps the ball well. And as I say, a David Noble type of player that can just sort of start the attacks going.
Yeah, you want someone.
Gareth Barry. Some of the parts.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Gareth Barry just came to mind. That sort of player
yeah.
that will just sit in the middle, tidy things up at the back, and get the moves going, get the attacks going. Because, you know, when you give the ball to Boateng or Lee Holmes or anything, they make things happen.
Yeah.
They make those runs, and you know, can be dangerous on the attack. So, yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing, I think, being a sideways
a crab
sort of player. You do need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't be
absolutely.
Too attacking, because you'll leave so many gaps at the back. So.
Another comment I heard from Bradford fans that I really liked was that he's always in the right position, you know, so just his positional play, and it just says to me that he's got a really good understanding of the game, which again, I think for a midfield player is essential. And you know, you mentioned there Lloyd James going, obviously he's gone to Forest Green for a undisclosed fee. We needed that experience in there, didn't we? Lloyd James showed at times what a good player he can be, but wasn't consistent enough.
No. You know, he did have his moments. He scored some good goals. I remember he scored, was it a free kick against Crewe a couple of years ago? But he was definitely, for me, really underused playing on the right wing last season. It just didn't seem to work.
No.
I mean, he can, you know, put a good set piece in. He's really good on corners and free kicks, and you know, he must have got a few assists during his time at Exeter. But yeah, for me, playing him on the right wing just didn't work at all for me. He just seemed so out of place. And Tisdale tried and persisted with it, but it just didn't seem to work. And you know, you saw it at Wembley as well when you brought him on the right wing, and everyone was just like, why do we? Don't know what the score was at that point, and the game was probably over.
I think it was 2-0.
Yeah, but you know, he's definitely been, I think we said before we came on this, that he's been made a bit of a scapegoat by fans. He's given
unfairly
a really,
so as well.
Yeah, he's given a really hard time. You know, and last season when he was playing on the right wing, because it wasn't his fault, was it? Obviously Tisdale saw something in him and he tried his hardest, but it just didn't work. So yeah, I think it's good for both parties that he's moved on. Forest Green, you know, could work out for him well there, obviously with Ruben Reid going there, a few familiar faces.
But closer to home for him as well, obviously he's a Bristol guy, so it's near to his home.
Yeah.
And the fact that he got a little bit of money for him as well is a good thing.
Yeah, obviously he's still under contract, so don't know how much it is, but yeah, it's good to get a fee for him, because you know, I think Matt Taylor, you know, insisted when we got that money for Jordan Story that, you know, it's going to be spent on the playing budget, and you know, would that have been possible to sign these players that are coming in? I know they're all sort of free transfers and loans, but obviously, you know, pay for the wages, etc. So yeah, it definitely helps. Yeah,
well, you certainly look at people. Well, Nicky Law, we know for a fact, has relocated down here with his family, so you know, you'd suggest that that's probably a 2, maybe even a 3 year contract, because to get someone like that who's an established league player at 30 years of age, you know, you've got to push the boat out a little bit to persuade them to make the move. So
yeah, I think we said on here a couple of weeks ago about how hard it is to persuade players from you know, up north to come down here, because it's such a long and big move for them. And obviously with Nicky, you know, he must be settled, I don't know, presumably with a family and that, and spending, look at the clubs he's played for, you know, Sheffield United, Rotherham, Bradford, Rangers. Has he ever been, well, obviously he's born in Plymouth, but probably hasn't played much down here over the years.
No, so. I think even then, you know, as you say, born in Plymouth, his dad was playing for Argyle at the time. So
right.
I think his dad then moved up country, and obviously he left as well. So
right.
he's, you know, no real connections to the West Country other than being born here.
Yeah, but obviously must shown that Matt Taylor must have impressed him enough to make that big move. You know, even Jonathan Fort as well. He spent a lot of time in, you know, the northern clubs as well. So Matt Taylor must obviously been saying the right things, you know, from obviously he must have talked well when he got the job, the, you know, interview for the job, because that was done, what was it, in the same day that Tisdale left as well. So he must have impressed, and I haven't had the chance to speak to him personally, but obviously you have when you did a special gracious gossip with him, and he does seem to come across quite well, doesn't he?
Yeah, very much so, very much so. He certainly knows what he wants. He's very single-minded, Matt. And I think that's also reflected in his coaching staff as well. You know, he was like, he knew exactly who he wanted, and he was almost frustrated by the fact that they had City had to go through this, you know, interview process, which was a legal thing that they had to abide to. But Matt always knew who he wanted. He's got his people in, and again, even his assistant, you know, he's managed to persuade him to up sticks and move down here for, you know, the first time in his life, and that's quite a big move for someone of his age. So so far, I think the sign's pretty encouraging. And one other signing as well, of course, is Tristan Abrahams, 19, come in on loan from Norwich. Recommended by Matt Gill as well, of course, who City fans would be more than familiar with. So it'd be interesting to see. A bit of an unknown quantity, though, isn't he?
Yes, still young as well, 19. I know he spent time with Leyton Orient when they were going to get to the National League. But yeah, as we said from that video of the penalty and other videos, he does seem confident. He knows, I know it's a cliche, but he knows how to score goals, which, you know, is going to be crucial, because we're quite, you know, short up front. And I think last season it was very much a case of, well, where would we be without Stockley's goals? How crucial was
Absolutely.
He, you know, especially after Ruben Rhee left, because he provided quite a few as well. So
that's still a concern for me, is if Stockley gets injured, you know, will we still have enough to be able to challenge at the top end of the table?
Yeah. And I think it does say a lot, because it's a season long loan, is it?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's not even until January. And then
yeah, because a lot of young strikers we've seen over the past that will join, you know, until Christmas or a month. So obviously Taylor's seen enough in him to believe in him that he can do a job for the club for the whole season. So yes, it'll be interesting to see how he does given that age.
Yeah, and 2 goals in 9 when for Leyton Orient, the season that they were relegated from League Two. Not prolific by any means, but for someone of that age, I mean, he was only sort of 17, 18 at the time, playing for a club that's going out the league, to be thrown in and to come back with that return is no bad thing, I don't think.
No, I don't know how much you can read into it, because obviously Leyton Orient, they've had so many issues off the field as well. That must have had an impact on the players, you know, fans unrest against the owners and protests, etc. So, yeah, I don't think you can really read too much into that. He's still 19, you know, he's still really young, he's still got most of his career ahead of him, so it will be interesting to see how he does now. Obviously there's going to be a lot of expectation at the club, you know, for promotion etc, and especially with these signings as well. Obviously Matt Taylor's brought these experienced players in not for consolidation next season. I think he wants to go again next season.
Absolutely. We touched on Lloyd James. Obviously he's, as we say, he's departed for Forest Green Rovers. There's a few rumours about other players leaving. I don't know how much truth is in them. You know, we know that they're all under contract now. There was obviously the situation with Jordan Moore Taylor and his clause. Ryan Harley to MK Dons is one that's doing the rounds at the moment. I don't know what you think, but to me that just seems like an obvious tenuous link because of Paul Tisdale.
Yeah, I think Harley's one of Tisdale's favourite players. I think that he's had at Exeter. Obviously brought him in the conference a long time ago, and then brought him back a few years ago as well. And yeah, I think if you were to ask Tisdale who is perhaps his best player or his best signing was for Exeter, he'd probably say Ryan Harley. He would definitely be up there. And yeah, it almost makes sense, I suppose, going Milton Keynes, because I think it's a little closer to home for him as well, because he doesn't live up by Bristol way. So it would be a loss for Exeter, of course, because on his day he's one of the best players you can see in the league, but obviously last season he was quite injury prone, wasn't he? He missed quite a few games of the season. So yeah, it's one of those that if it does happen, wouldn't be too surprised. I don't think it would raise too many eyebrows. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens if anyone else joins the Tisdale MK Dons revolution.
I totally agree with what you say about Ryan. And for me, I think when I look back at City's playoff campaigns, when we beat Oxford, not so much Oxford, sorry, but Torquay, Carlisle, and then Lincoln this year, Ryan was the star man in all three of those semi-finals across both legs, you know, and of course the goal against Lincoln was just... That was something else. I wasn't even looking at the time. So I wasn't expecting a shot. But what a strike that was. And he would... I mean, if it did happen, I think a lot of City fans would not only be disappointed to see him go, but they would certainly have a lot of fond memories of Ryan Harley.
Yeah, like you said, the goals that spring to mind, the one against Torquay when he, you know, put Exeter back in the game. If he didn't score that, who knows what would have happened. He scored against Huddersfield, I remember, to keep him in League One as well.
Three goals against Algar.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's a fan favourite already. Scored against Leeds, I think, as well.
So, both against Leeds,
Yeah, great memories. Great goals as well.
Yeah.
He loves a, you know, a 25, 30-yard rocket. Again, he's also been one that's been given quite a bit of stick by fans over the years. You know, perhaps he has a reputation of going missing sometimes, and
well, it's that language style that he's got, isn't it? You know, people people read it as being lazy, but it's not. Yeah. It's just that's what Ryan's like. He's just probably the most naturally gifted footballer I think I've seen at City for years.
But interestingly, given that lazy tag that he's been given, I remember speaking to Tisdale ahead of the playoffs last season, and Ryan Harley last season was the player that covered the most ground out of anyone.
Really?
In the Exeter City team, Ryan Harley. So, says a lot, I think.
See, another thing the fans always criticised him for was the fact he couldn't tackle, but the amount of times Ryan just nicks a ball off someone, it's like he's some sort of pickpocket, do you know what I mean? He just like steals the ball off them, but he's not someone who's going to go hurtling into a 50-50 tackle, you know, he's not that type of player, but he's really underrated for the defensive side of his game, I think, and something that me and a couple of friends always picked up on was the amount of times where, say, an opposition team would have a corner, come in, the keeper would take the ball, and Ryan would be in the sort of left back area, ready in loads of space to take the ball and just get City going again. You know, his reading and understanding of the game was so good. Yeah. It still is, of course. Yeah. So, you know, I hope he doesn't go, but I can understand where the link's coming from. Whether there's any truth in it or not, I don't know. I just can't see it.
No, but then assume if he does go, we'll get another fee as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully that would, if he does go, be used to replace him.
It's an interesting one in the sense that he was also an ex-teammate of Matt Taylor's from, you know, the first time around as well, and obviously last year not teammate as such, but Matt being his coach now, of course he's his manager, so that relationship's going to be different as well.
Well, Taylor would have been captain as well,
of course,
the time, so I don't know, maybe Harley perhaps doesn't, I don't know, not understand, but I suppose it would be quite a weird transition for going from your teammate, your captain, to now being your manager. So, I don't know, maybe he doesn't feel that's, I don't know, not the right thing to do, but it must be strange to get used to, I suppose.
Yeah. As we say, four signings so far. It sounds as though there's going to be more coming. We're not sure exactly when just yet, but I know Matt's keen to utilise the loan market. I don't know what you think. I've got a funny feeling that one of the West Brom boys might come back, and I'd probably put my money on Kyle Edwards out of the two.
Yeah, that'd be great, definitely. Kyle, you know, when he played, he was great. He was obviously, I think, more of an impact coming off the bench. You know, he made some great runs, take on plays, scored a great goal at Wembley as well. No one's going to really remember
it. No. And it was identical to his one down at Plymouth as well in the Johnson's paint.
Yeah, of course, he just loves cutting in and bending the ball past the goalkeeper. So yeah, it'd be great to see him. Obviously he seems to enjoy himself down here as well. So yeah, it'd be good. I don't know how he's going to fit into West Brom's plans next season, also being in the Championship, or maybe they'll be looking to send him out again, because they're still quite young, aren't they?
I think if they did come back, they'd certainly get a lot more game time than they got last year. And speaking to Matt on the podcast last week, he rates them so highly.
Yeah.
I was really open to the idea of them coming back, but of course it's the ball's very much in theirs and West Brom's court.
And you know, Kane Wilson as well. I'm just trying to think, because I think initially they both only joined until January.
Yeah, that's right, they did.
So they obviously must have been impressed to stay on to the end of the season. Obviously, the club were in a good position at the time, fighting for promotion. So, yeah, like we said, it seems like Taylor can talk a good game. So hopefully, you know, he can persuade them to come, because they were definitely one of two of the fans' favourite players last season as well.
And you'd imagine he'd be looking for a right back as well, because other than Sweeney, there isn't anybody else.
No,
a couple of youngsters, I suppose. I think Harry Kite's a right back.
But yeah, and obviously Loy James sort of started in there a few times. So yeah, we are lacking. Yeah, I'd still like to see another defender, I think. You know, obviously got Martin and Troy Brown, but obviously he's had his problems over recent months. You know, injury problems.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's still quite quite fair at the back. Obviously, Danny Seedwon has moved on now to Derry City.
Derry City,
bizarre one, and Troy Archibald going as well, so still lacking, I think, at centre back. So hopefully try and look at that.
I've got a feeling we haven't seen the last of Troy Archibald Hemville yet.
No,
I can see him coming back.
Possibly. I mean, yeah, obviously Taylor mentioned, didn't he, that with the funds he might be looking at bringing one or two back that were released. Obviously Ryan Brunt's moved on to Bath now, and Robbie Simpson's left as well, so yeah, who knows? Could happen. Yeah,
I totally agree with you. I think right back, centre back. I'd like to see a winger as well, because as much as I like Lee Holmes, you know, fantastic player, but I think we need someone who is perhaps a little bit more robust than Holmes as well. You know, I'm not sure you can get more than 30, 35 games out of Holmes a season now.
No, and he's obviously had his injury problems as well. So, yeah, someone like Carl Edwards, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we were lacking that. Last season, especially on the left, when you had Craig Woodman and
Dean Moxey.
No,
that was a frustrating thing, wasn't it? Because the options were there within the camp, because we had Edwards, but he just seemed to be stuck to the substitutes bench all the time.
Yeah, I don't know if Tisdale has understood that Moxey's sort of getting on a bit in his career now, and he can't take on players like he used to when he first came through. He's definitely, for me, a left back now, not a left midfielder.
Although even then, I thought Dino had his best games when he played at centre half last year.
Yeah, that's true.
But when he filled in at centre half, he played really, really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we definitely need more pace on the wings, I think.
Well, obviously we've got the pace with Abrahams, and if we can get Edwards in as well, that'll be quite a lively couple of players.
Yeah.
Anywhere else you think we need to strengthen?
Yeah, I mean, I think Taylor's obviously highlighted the strengths that the areas he wants to strengthen. He said he wants to bring in strikers and defenders. I mean, you know, I think goalkeeper were pretty solid. I know Christy Pym, I know there's been one or two rumours over the months about his future, but you know, you'd like to think now he's staying. We've obviously got James Heyman as his backup. Obviously Paul Jones is left, but I don't know about Heyman, because obviously he's been out on loan quite a bit. Maybe the time's come for him to sort of step up or leave, maybe a backup keeper.
It's a question of whether he wants to be a number two, or whether, you know, he's got serious aspirations to try and make a career for himself and become a first choice somewhere else.
Yeah.
He's kind of at that stage in his career now, I think, where he's got to make a decision.
Yeah. Yeah, and obviously he was at Gloucester for second half of last season, and from what I saw from some clips, he didn't seem to have a great time there either. Made quite a few mistakes. I think in one game he sort of made two or three howlers when a classic air kick and the ball went in. So, obviously he's played in like cup games and that, but I don't know, he's still quite young, so but it definitely has come to a sort of make or break part of his career, I think. Does he want to be, like you said, a number two, or does he actually want to be a first
choice somewhere?
Yeah.
One final thing then, Jamie. New kit came out yesterday. Not too dissimilar to last year's. It's same red and white stripes, black shorts and black and white hooped socks. 78% of Devon Live readers like it, though. We ran a poll online, and hugely in favour of the new kit. The design is slightly different. The stripes are obviously thinner than last year's. Different to the badge and the sponsor logo as well. You a fan?
I don't know. I think it's going to have to.
You need to see it in the flesh.
Yeah,
in the flesh.
The standout for me was the white sleeves. I think they should be red, like they used to be. It's too white for me, I think. I don't know. A lot's been said about the socks as well. That's caused quite a debate in the office here.
I don't like the socks at all, but yeah, I know Rich Mofer and Rich are both big fans of the... Yeah. I think Rich's words were, I do like a hooped sock, so... Yeah, I can't say I'm a fan. It kind of looks like it should be part of Newcastle's kit, something like that. It looks totally out of place with a red and white striped shirt.
Yeah, there should be a lot more red for it. It kind of makes me think of a Southampton kit in a way. Very white, very thin strips as well. Because like the other kits, sort of really just thick stripes, like just three stripes on the red and two whites. But
we did have that kit a few years ago, which was a thin red and white stripes, but then we had the red sleeves, didn't we? So the red came out more, so
It needs to be more red for me.
But no, as I say though, fans seem to like it. 78% of fans are fans. I was disappointed about the away kit. Now, I do like the away kit, I'll just put that on record now, but I just feel if you're going to change kit, it's such an opportunity for clubs to make money, and I don't understand why City is saying, oh, we'll have exactly the same kit for another 2 years, when they could have come up with a new design and made some money.
Yeah, well, I think they said because it's proven to be so popular, they thought, why not just carry on? But
they said it was popular with the players, though, not so much with the fans, although it is popular with the fans. You know, a lot of people do wear it, don't they?
Yeah, they do see it around a lot. But yeah, like you said, it's such a financial opportunity there.
Even if it had a different collar or different badge or whatever.
Yeah, because they have been known, I do like their away kits in the past. I'm trying to think, like, there was a nice blue one we had in the conference, and a black one as well.
I like the black one.
And a white one as well. So yeah, the away kit's been pretty good. I'm not really a fan of luminous, fluorescent kits myself. No, I think they should just be for goalkeepers, really. Don't look like you're working on the highways or something.
So you won't be buying that one. You might get you're going to wait and see the red and white one first before making the decision.
Yeah, I might. If I do, I might try and colour the sleeves in.
Okay, brilliant. Right, Jamie, thanks ever so much for joining me on the podcast. We'll be back again with more of the same next week. But stay tuned to Devon Live for all the latest news and views from St James's Park. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.